Shadowcast, episode 14. This week's story, Ghost on Black Mountain, by Anne Height. Anne Height's Black Mountain stories were featured in the May 2008 issue of The Dead Mule as an ebook. Life on Black Mountain, Beautiful Wreck, her new novel, was a semifinalist in the 2009 Amazon Breakthrough Novel Contest. Circle of Light, a Black Mountain story, was nominated for a Sundress Best of 2008. Another of her Black Mountain stories, Quell the Voices, appeared here, in episode 1 of the Shadowcast audio anthology. Anne has taught numerous workshops, most recently at Scribbler's Writing Retreat on St. Simon's Island. Anne lives with her family in Atlanta, where she has over 1,000 books, a butterfly garden, and her laptop. And now I present to you Ghost on Black Mountain, read by Amy Tapia.
Ghost on Black Mountain. Mama warned Nellie against marrying Hobbs Pritchard. She saw the future in her tea leaves, an omen, death. Mama refused to attend the ceremony, which wasn't much to speak of, just the Baptist preacher, a Bible, and words. Words that bound Nellie for the rest of her life. But Hobbs was so cute. His eyes reminded her of a crystal clear winter sky. It didn't take much to make Nellie see life his way. In those first days of sweet romance, if Hobbs Pritchard asked her to jump off a bridge, she would have done it with a smile on her face. Mama always said not to love a man too much. A woman should save some love back to care for herself. Nellie loved Hobbs with everything in her. Besides, she had to marry him. He kissed her full on the mouth and ran his hands inside her shirt, and that sealed the deal. Their honeymoon consisted of one night in the back room of Mr. Hamby's store. Hobbs paid real good money for the privilege and decided he needed to get his money's worth. His body hammered into Nellie, drinking that love she offered in one sloppy gulp. When it was over, he left her alone. No kiss or hug, but he wasn't much on either. Nellie lay on the cot thinking of ways she could soften him. Hobbs moved Nellie to Black Mountain the next day. The leaves had turned the mountain a brilliant orange, red, and gold. Mama cried like a baby. She stood in the door of the farm, twisting her long skirt and weathered, worn fingers. "Nothing will ever be the same. You'll never come back home, Nellie girl." They settled in a cabin 2 miles up the mountain from Hobbs' family. The winter was colder than Nellie could remember, but Hobbs always brought food home. Still, the cabin walls seemed to close around her. With the first spring thaw, Nellie took to walking the paths through the woods. Hobbs stayed gone most of the time on business. One morning a fog moved in as she walked the path. Familiar landmarks disappeared, but Nellie had a good sense of direction and didn't worry too much until she saw a man standing in the path ahead. "Are you lost, sir?" He was ill-fitted for the area, a town man, dressed in clothes, but his knees were dirty. "The fog plays tricks on people." He looked through Nellie. The hairs on the back of her neck stood up. "Well, I got to get home." He nodded and walked into the woods and disappeared into the fog. Nellie's mother-in-law came to visit that afternoon after the fog burned off and the day turned cheery. Hobbs had been gone for nearly a week. Nellie began to feel his absence like a tiny cut on the end of the finger. She would forget it was there until she touched on it, and then the pain would cut right through her. "Hobbs is just like that, honey. You can't go changing a man. If that's what you got in your head, forget it. He's too much like his daddy. That man made a name for himself, a shameful name with woman. But you look at me, I'm stronger for it." The words crashed through Nellie's mind. "I'm sure Hobbs is not like that. He loves me." "Well, "Sure he do, Nellie. It ain't got a thing to do with love. It's more like a sport. You know, a man's thing." Nellie rushed forward with a talk to shut up the foolish woman. "I saw a man in the woods today. He looked lost. I asked him if I could help, but he just spoke nonsense." Mrs. Pritchard grasped her chest. "Lordy be, child, that's the ghost of Merlin Hockett. He came here 20 years ago to measure the mountain, worked for the government, got lost in the fog and walked off a cliff. Found him dead in the creek. It preserved him right nice since the water was so cold. Folks that see him always have some kind of doom come their way. I ain't never heard a soul say he talked to them."
"He didn't look like a ghost."
"Most ghosts don't look like ghosts. They look like you and me." She looked around Nellie's cabin. "You're spending too much time by yourself. I want you to come help us quilt. Us girls meet every Thursday. You plan on being there."
"What kind of doom?"
Nellie thought of Mama's tea leaves. "Last person to spot the ghost was Mrs. Carson. Her husband burned up in his barn 3 days later. Of course, I always said he was making shine and the still exploding, but that's not for me to say. The time before that was when the government people brought that Spanish influenza, gave it to Henry Marks. He died in 2 days. It like to have wiped out half of the mountain. We don't have to worry about that anymore. All them government people have now is the depression, and Lord knows we here on Black Mountain know all about lack of money. We could teach those rich fools how to live." Nellie nodded, hoping Mrs. Pritchard would leave.
"Now, you just plan on quilting. I'll send Tom around for you."
"Thank you, but I'm not much of a quilter. I like gardens. I'm going to plant me a nice one right out there." She pointed to the flat piece of land before the yard sloped off.
"Quilting is just as important as gardening. Did your mama teach you anything?"
Mrs. Pritchard said this over her shoulder as she left. Nellie marked the corners of her garden plot. Flowers in between rows of practical vegetables would be just the frame for the mountains in the distance. On a clear day, she could see rows and rows of mountains, like waves rolling in on the beach. She saw the beach once as a child. Daddy took her and Mama on a trip to the low country of South Carolina to see his parents. Poor as they were, they had the best place in the world to live. Nellie hadn't seen her grandparents since the day Daddy died, and they came to take his body home. Mama said that was fine, because he loved that country so much, she couldn't imagine him anywhere else. Nellie's garden plot was rocky and hard to turn with the hoe, but Nellie put all her energy into the work. This helped keep the image of Hobbs with other women at bay. He wouldn't do that to her. She knew this, but sometimes he lost interest as she talked. His eyes glazed over, and he never noticed when she quit talking in mid-sentence. But that was just his way. 2 weeks later, he came home late and jumped on the bed. He tore at her nightgown buttons. She pushed at him from a deep sleep. The back of his hand crashed across her face. "You're my wife. I can do what I want." He ripped her gown away, the only gown she owned. The smell of whiskey, sweet and something, sweet roses, maybe gagged her.
"Hobbs, please."
He punched her head. "Shut up." He forced himself inside of her. Fear paralyzed her. When Hobbs was finished with his fun, he rolled over and began to snore. The smell drove her from the bed, and she lost her supper. Her husband was sleeping with other women. What could she do? Hobbs came to life around 2 the next afternoon. Nellie heard him, slamming around in the house. She worked with her hoe, turning the dirt for her garden. Planting season would be upon her.
"What are you doing, woman?"
Hobbs stood in the door without a shirt, his pants unbuttoned. She prayed to God that she would be spared from him and kept working the dirt.
"Talk to me, woman. I make plenty of money selling shine. You don't need no damn garden."
"I'm making a garden, Hobbs."
"We need a child, a boy, to follow in his old man's footsteps. Come here."
She looked at the man who once thrilled her and now made her sick and continued to turn the dirt.
"Did you hear me?" his voice roared.
Nelly stopped hoeing. "I want to go back to my mother." Hobbs covered the distance between them in 3 steps, grabbing the hoe and throwing her to the ground. He punched her until she became numb and accepted she might die. He shoved her face into the fresh, damp dirt. When she woke, he was nowhere to be seen. But Nellie didn't take any chances. She lay still for a while, waiting. The taste of salty blood was in her mouth. Finally, she struggled to her feet and walked the 2 miles to her mother-in-law's farm. Mrs. Pritchard was washing clothes by the creek. The horror on her face told Nellie how bad she looked.
"What in the world happened, child?"
Mrs. Pritchard jumped to her feet. Nellie wasn't sure that her voice worked.
"Hobbs beat me."
Mrs. Pritchard stepped back a step.
"What did you do?"
When Nellie didn't answer, she spoke again.
"It's just a part of life, dear."
Nellie's ears rang.
"I want to go to my mama." "You can't go. You're Hobbs' wife. A husband can do what he wants."
Nellie turned to leave, a dull thought knocking in her head.
"Not my husband," she whispered.
"What did you say, dear?"
Mrs. Pritchard stepped forward. "Let me see to those bruises and cuts." Nellie kept walking.
"Thank you, no."
"Don't cause no more trouble for yourself, Nellie. He's probably left for a while. Fix him a real nice dinner and make yourself pretty."
Nellie laughed at the sky and kept walking. Mrs. Pritchard kept talking, but Nellie couldn't hear her. She walked home through the woods, slow, thinking. The strange man stood in the path this time, with no fog. He stared into her eyes. "Sometimes you think you're lost, but really you're not." He turned and walked away. That afternoon, Nellie chopped firewood over and over. She split logs into pieces. Then she heated water and soaked in lavender Mama had sent with her. She chose a loose-fitting dress and allowed her hair to hang free, flowing down her back and over her shoulders. A fire warmed the cabin. Extra logs were stacked on the hearth. The axe leaned against the firewood. She waited in the rocker until sleep got the best of her. Hobbs bent over the rocker, a hand on each arm, trapping her.
"Look at you. I guess a good beating now and then does just the thing. Makes you realize how lucky you are."
She smiled, as if in a dream, and thought of the man in the fog.
"What are you smiling at?"
He smelled of whiskey. "I'll show you if you let me stand."
He grinned and moved away. "Now, don't you try anything funny, or I'll beat you again."
She stood and dropped her dress to the floor, her body reflecting the bruises, but Hobbs didn't seem to notice.
"I want to show you what I can do, Hobbs."
She guided him to the floor on top of the rug in front of the hearth, and dropped to her knees beside Hobbs, leaving the terrible compromise in the shadows. The person who mounted Hobbs turned the wind into the hot breath of the devil. She embraced the heat and opened her mind to freedom, and for a fraction of a moment she owned him. When he slept, snoring on the rug, she stood, clasped the axe in her hands. The weight, slung over her head, nearly buckled her knees. The room spun, and thunder, rumbling in the distance, shook the cabin. The moist air would bring a fog. She swung with all her might and splintered her prison. Her sin spilled all over the rug Mama had woven, and Nellie deeply regretted that. A fog moved in at dawn, rolling into the open windows. She worked on the cleanup until the fog burned away and the sun rode the sky. The fireplace coals and ashes were sprinkled over the rich dirt of her garden. As the hoe turned them into the ground, she repeated a prayer. "Dear God, forgive. Please forgive me." His head was all that remained. Even she couldn't destroy his face. Instead, she pushed it through a hole in the hollow tree on the edge of the property, overlooking the garden. 3 weeks passed, and the weather turned hot. Nellie gave the whole cabin a good cleaning and found time to plant her garden. When Tom, Hobbs' baby brother, came for her on Thursdays, she went to the quilting, smiling. At night, she slept the sleep of innocence, safe. In the 6 weeks, she wrote a letter. "Dear Mama, your prediction came true. I am now free to plant my garden. Love you forever, Nellie." She walked the letter to Mrs. Pritchard's house, hoping Tom would carry it to Mama on his next trip down the mountain. Mrs. Pritchard held the letter in her hand. "What's Hobbs say about this?" Nellie shrugged. "Hasn't been home." "Has he ever stayed gone this long?" "Oh, yes. He stayed gone 8 weeks in the winter." Nellie pointed to the letter. "You can read it if you like." Mrs. Pritchard could read a flour sack. "I can't read your writing." She shoved the letter at Nellie. Nellie read it aloud. "You see? Nothing bad." "What was your mama's prediction?" "Doom. She was right." Mrs. Pritchard looked away. "Tom said you have a mighty bad smell up there around the cabin. Said it smelled like something dead." "I know. That smell is horrible. I had a coon hanging around, but I haven't seen him in 6 days. The smell is coming from the old hollow tree." "Get some lime out of the shed. Sprinkle it around the tree and in it. He probably crawled in there to die. Could be rabid." "I bet you're right about that." Nellie scooped her a small sack of lime and walked home. 2 months went by, and Nellie was nested in the cabin good. Mrs. Pritchard got real desperate, sending Tom down the mountain in search of Hobbs. Nellie just smiled, shrugged, and worked her garden, which flourished. Each morning, Nellie got out of bed, threw up, and went to work in the garden before she could coax a piece of bread down. Sometimes she thought of the hollow tree, but mostly she thought of the future and actions she needed to take. Tom came home, telling Mama that Hobbs hadn't seen his girlfriend Rose in over a month. Nellie had dropped by for some flour she was running low and just bit the inside of her lip until it bled. Tom started asking her questions about what Hobbs was wearing the last time Nellie saw him. She said she couldn't remember, probably his old overalls. He wore them all the time. "I want to come look around the cabin." "You're welcome."
Nelly looked him dead in the eye. That night it stormed. She found an old shirt of Hobbs and a pair of overalls. She stood in front of his shaving mirror and cut her hair until it was close to her head, and she looked a lot like a boy. At dawn, a fog rolled in, and Nelly harnessed the horse, stuck a hat on her head, and hid her belongings under the seat. She didn't take much, only some old dresses she could tear apart for baby clothes, and the $100 she found on Hobbs. She wished she could visit Mama, but the prediction had been right. Nelly could and would not go home. Tom Pritchard passed her on his way to search her cabin. He would find a fire, burning breakfast, dishes on the table, a bright new rug hooked by Nelly, and a note saying she had gone for a walk in the woods. Years later, when Maria begged her mother to tell a story, Nelly told the legend of Black Mountain and how the young wife who grieved over her husband walked off into the fog, never to be found.
Perhaps I'm drawn to stories like these because I myself was born and raised in a little backwood community. I grew up on a farm. We raised pigs, cows, horses, goats, you name it, and I bet you we had them at one time or another. That's probably not all that interesting to you guys, but what you must understand is it truly is a different way of life. Country folks have different ways of doing things, different ways of thinking, and I often think us hicks get a bad rap when it comes to intellect. Some of it's deserved, some of it's not. It seems when something happens, they always find the person with the least amount of teeth to put on the news. Stories like these happen out in the country, just as they happen in New York or L.A. People do despicable things everywhere, and the setting often has little to do with it. If you like this story, please tell someone about it, blog about it, or consider making a donation to help cover the server costs. I'd like to thank Amy Tapia for reading for us today, and Anne for once again trusting us with one of her stories. This episode is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives license. Our music today was courtesy of The Contrarian. Learn more at thecontrarianmedia.com. Until next time, thanks for listening. Stay well.